Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And off we go into our number two of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. And the great one, Lonzo, of the ones and twos. This is interesting. We already knew it. We already said it once this hour. It's going to be part of the water cooler cheat sheet here in just a minute. But the Bears have formally requested to interview Mike McCarthy, which I find interesting because Dallas hasn't fired him. He's not fired.
Yeah, but I think his contract is up or something.
Like it is. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess technically Mike could be like, you know what? You know what, Jerry? You. I'm out. You. The Cowboys. The fans. Everybody.
So if his contract is up, they have no say on whether he can
I believe that it is a full free agency for Mike McCarthy. Mike can leave just like Dallas could say, yeah, we're not bringing you back. My only question is Mike McCarthy the guy you trust? I'll tell you what, hang on to this because this is going to be part of the water. You know what? Let's just dive on in. Why not? 7:01 in the morning. You have, as of... Right, hang on to it. Now, 58 minutes to get your behind into the office locked in, but we know how it goes. You work 5, 6, 7 minutes, you take that first smoke break of the day. Even if you don't smoke, you get it. All right, walk down the hallway, head to the employee break room, stand by the water cooler where the boss can see and talk sports with the coworkers. And if you're going to talk sports with the coworkers, you got to know what's going on. And if you got to know what's going on, you need this. It's the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this glorious Tuesday morning and start talking sports with your coworkers. When you do, this is what you'll be talking about. Let's dive right in with item number one. I don't know how many of you watched it. If you didn't, you missed out. It was a great game. I had it on the small TV while I was watching Raw on Netflix on the big TV. Cam Miller ran for 2 touchdowns, threw for 3 more in his 54th consecutive start as North Dakota State's quarterback, the Bison, won their record 10th football championship subdivision title last night, beating top-seeded and previously undefeated Montana State 35-32 in an absolute ball game. The 14-2 Bison made the trip from Fargo to Frisco for the 11th time in 14 seasons. Its previous title there was 3 years ago in a game that had Miller and Montana State's Tony Mellott as the starting quarterbacks. North Dakota State's 10 FCF championships have all come in the past 14 seasons. No other school has more than 6 at this point, according to ESPN. The Bison's only title game loss in Frisco 2 years ago to South Dakota State. They are the only team in modern college football to have a 16-0 season 5 years ago when the Bison also won that national championship. Miller was 19 of 22 for 199 yards. He ran 18 times for another .121 and won his 45th game out of 56 starts and his second national title. The Bison back once again on top. Texter said, why are you talking like you're from Canada, eh? Yeah, that's North Dakota, eh?
It's still Canadian, Wisconsin, like a mix in there.
I just assume everybody that lives up in a place around a place called Fargo.
Also a little bit of DeBears guy in there.
Da Bears, da Bears, da Bears. Da Bison, da Bison, da Bison, da Bison, da Bison, da Bison, da Bison. I got nothing.
Did you touch your nose?
Yeah, but I had an itch.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, I had an itch. It wasn't
like hit it on the nose. That's just what you were doing.
Another heart attack, Bob. It's all right. Gonna be all right, Bob.
I learned my lesson to not do that. I'm not hitting myself anymore.
Hang in there, Bob. You'll be all right, Bob. The Bison win their 10th out of the last 14 years. I would go ahead and say dynastic. Can I tell you what thought I had last night, though? Isn't it kind of interesting that major college football has been, in the last, let's say, 20 years, major college football has been dominated by teams from the South or the Southeast predominantly. Major college football has been dominated by the South. FCS football is dominated by the North of the North, like North Dakota, Montana, etc. I have no idea why that is, to be honest with you. Other than the concept that the rich get richer, right? What's the best way to become a billionaire, be a millionaire? Other than the rich get richer, as in if you're a top-tier recruit trying to decide where to go, like you're going to go to the places that are already successful so that you can be successful as well. Major college football has been dominated by the South. But the best of lower-level FCS football has been dominated by Montana, North Dakota State, South Dakota State. Teams way up north. And I wonder why that is, or if there is a reason outside of the fact that it's just those teams that go every year. So every upper-level recruit that ain't quite FBS level, that is FCS level, goes, yeah, I'm going to go play up there where all the trophies are.
Well, think about it. If you're on that level and you can't get to the next one yet, you're going to go there. And how many guys transfer out of those schools?
I mean, we've seen a few.
Yeah. So.
We've seen a few. You go win a championship there, and then and you decide I'm going to hit the portal. That's a good place to get noticed.
You can also get drafted out
so,
of it.
So it is a rich get richer theory
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
If Montana State recruits.
I want to go somewhere where they win, and it's a gateway to either bigger college football or to the NFL.
If Montana has got a recruiting pitch of, if you come here, there is a better than 80% chance that you will win a national championship at the FCS level and probably do it in, you know, your first 2 to 3 years. If you go there and win one and then you put your name in the portal, you are on the radar of the FBS schools.
I wonder what the money's like there.
That's a genuinely great question. I wonder if there's a Bob's Used Cars in Fargo, North Dakota. And they're like, hey, you come up here, we'll give you a King Ranch Super Duty.
I don't know what that is, but it sounded
it's
awesome.
It's a big, big truck, Bob. It's got the four-wheel drive. It's got the V8. If it snows in Fargo, don't worry. This bad boy will climb the top of that mountain and back right down. That's Bob's Used Cars in Fargo, North Dakota, for all your, oh, damn, it's snowing outside and I need a big truck needs. Come on down to Bob's Used Cars. Sorry, come on up to Bob's Used Cars. It's in Fargo. That's way up there, Bob.
Well, I mean, the ads are probably in Fargo, so
oh,
you
yeah.
don't have to say,
oh, yeah.
you know.
Come on out. If it's snowing, don't you worry. Put on those big tennis racket shoe things that people got to wear. Walk on down to Bob's Used Cars. We'll get you driving home in that brand new Super Ranch. Texter said, keep the King Ranch. I want a Raptor, eh? Yeah, we got those at Bob's Used Cars, too. Official car dealership of North Dakota State quarterback Cam Miller. Come on down this weekend. It's a blizzard outside, but don't you worry. We got Cam Miller, and we got free brats on the grill. All right, that's enough of that. That's dumb. I don't know why I keep doing that. Item number two.
Sorry, I was just looking for the snowfall in Fargo, North Dakota right now.
I don't actually know if it's snowing in Fargo, North Dakota. I just assume it is because it's North Dakota.
Zero snow in Fargo.
I saw a place called Fargo on TV once. It was very snowy.
By the way, it's really snowing in Detroit.
Every episode of Fargo, it's got snow. Now, Detroit, Michigan, I got to tell you, Bob, that's a tough place to live. All right? I can't imagine anybody would go up to Detroit, Michigan to live in a snow and would love their life and talk about it constantly, how great and amazing it is. But to each their own, huh? All right. Sorry.
I already played it, so.
I had to take myself out of the.
Okay.
I had to stop being Fargo guy. Yeah, I was being Fargo guy.
I'm not sure that you can get all the way out of Fargo now because I think it's in there.
There's a little bit of Fargo in all of us. Let's Fargo to item number two on the water. Thank you very much. On the water cooler, Chi-Chi, NFL Black Monday, half come and gone. It wasn't really the bloodbath that a lot of us thought it was going to be. We effectively had one head. See, or was. You heard me say it? Effectively. We effectively had one head coach fired yesterday as Doug Peterson was released by the Jacksonville. You want to know the definition of awkward? I heard this morning as I was kind of flipping through on my drive in to the office. Way too damn late. There was a press conference, well, a teleconference yesterday after Doug Peterson was relieved of his duties as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Shad Khan was on it, as was the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Trent Baalke. And
Shad Khan still have that killer mustache? Oh, you were listening, you weren't watching.
Correct. So no. Phone okay. Con. Right. Now, first off, yes.
I think you could hear that mustache.
Yeah, that's his thing for sure. Trent Baalke, Shad Khan on a phone call on a teleconference talking about the decision to move on from Doug Peterson. And one of the, I don't know if it was a reporter or if it was the host, I don't know who it was, but one of the people on the call said, Shad Khan, you have kept like a good chunk of the non-coaching staff in place. If a head coaching candidate that you really want was to come in, because there is rumor right now that Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator from the Detroit Lions, may be interested in Jacksonville. Now, why would he be interested in Jacksonville? Handful of reasons. Number one, it doesn't snow in Jacksonville. Number two, there are people, and I think I'm still one of them. But there are people who believe that Trevor Lawrence, between Urban Meyer and now Doug Peterson, has kind of gotten shafted by the organization. All right, come on, man, stop it. Has kind of gotten shafted by the organization here. And that with the right coach, understanding who Trevor Lawrence is, could still be a dynamic player in the National Football League. We've seen flashes of great ball out of Trevor Lawrence, but it's not consistent. And if you are Ben Johnson, going to a place where there is a quarterback you believe in, as he is the guy who has pretty much carte blanche to call his shot. Everybody wants Ben Johnson. Everybody wants Johnson. Trevor Lawrence might be a guy that he believes in, and so maybe he's on the list. Oh, I got a better one than that coming up for you later in the show. Grand Canyon University just signed a golfer who has the greatest name ever. A name so good that I've gone back and forth debating if I'm even allowed to say his name on the radio, but it is his legal name. And it's not like he changed his name. It's just his actual name. I'll tell you what it is later.
I've been doing a lot of training lately, so there's a good shot I'll just dump everything.
We'll see.
I'm just telling you.
We'll see. Stay tuned. Find out. Ben Johnson may head down to Jacksonville. It's on the list. I doubt it. I don't think that's the case. But the fact that the Bears are interviewing Mike McCarthy, everybody has been working on the assumption Ben Johnson was going to go be with the Bears. Oh, no. They were on a call yesterday, Shad Khan and Trent Baalke. I'm going to get to the point eventually here. They were on a call yesterday. The reporter or host or whoever it was said, Shad Khan, you've left all your administrative pieces in place. If a head coach comes in and says, I want to change up the medical staff, I want to chain up the training staff, I want to train up the GM, would you be open to that? And Shad Khan, on the phone with his GM, Trent Baalke, said, if a coach comes in and gives me a good reason to change my staff, including my general manager, I will do it. I was like, oh. You know, like we all know, but don't say it in front of the man's face, man. Wow. I wonder if that was like that motivation piece. You ever get that call down to the boss's office and the boss is like, look, dude, you got to perform or I got to let you go. That's just how this is going to be. That motivates some people. I don't know. We'll see if it goes. All right. Anyway, item Doug Peterson, Gerard Mayo, and then the coaches that got fired in season. Matt Eberflus, Dennis Allen, Robert Saleh, and I think that's it, right? Five open spots right now, and there is the belief that at least a couple more, probably Dallas is coming open. And I think right now that might be the list.
Why don't they just, why doesn't Dallas just trade them?
Well, that's why, well, right now they can't. They don't own them. They don't own the rights.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I don't know what date the contract officially wraps up. I don't know if it's like the day after the season or what. I'll do the research during the break. If they have him under contract, even if it's for a few more days, that's in the cards. If Chicago goes, we really want this guy, and Mike McCarthy says to Chicago, if you guys make the move for me, I will sign a new contract with you. But if I hit the free agent market, I'm going to take whoever's going to pay me the most. Maybe Dallas can get a little something for Mike McCarthy. There's also the belief right now that at least one team, and Schefter said this on ESPN the other day, there's at least one team that is open conversation with the Vikings about making a trade for Kevin O'Connell, their head coach. You know, the guy that is in the playoffs, the winningest wild card team ever, that guy. What do you think the trade haul is for Kevin O'Connell right now? It's got to be a couple of first round picks, right? Like at minimum. All right, we'll see how that plays out before we get there. And finally, item number three. I'm curious as to see how many, if any, of you are excited about, interested, going to get into this. We talked about it back in hour number one. But the TGL, the Tiger Golf League, that Golf League, the Golf League, whatever you want to call it, fires up tonight on ESPN and ESPN HD. Six golfers. They're going to play nine holes of alternating shot triples. So golfer one will hit a shot, golfer two will hit the next, golfer three the next, and we'll rotate through for nine holes. Then we will play six holes of three-on-three, one-on-one golf. That is to say, team member A from team A, team member B, or team member A from team B, team member B from team A, team member B from team B, team member C from A, and team member C from B will square off as individuals. So two golfers from each team paired up. They will play individual golf for a point a hole. If one team wins outright in regulation, they get 2 points, the other team gets zero. If one team wins in overtime, that team gets 2 points. The team that loses in overtime gets 1 point. If you lose in regulation, you get 0 points. This is simulator meets video game meets real golf. They will be swinging real clubs, hitting real shots off of simulated fairway, rough, and dirt. They also have the green zone, which is a rotating 360-degree full-size putting green. But it has like hydraulic lifts under it that will contour this green. So every time they get on the green, it will be a different green to putt on. I'm excited about it. I think it's got an opportunity to be very entertaining. I'm excited about it to get people excited about golf the way that I am about friends of mine that don't play golf, but they'll go with me to Topgolf. right? Like, they won't go play a round of 18, but they'll go play Topgolf with me. And I can't tell you how many folks I've taken to Topgolf, and they go, this is actually kind of fun. And I'm like, yeah, let's go play 9, right? I'm not going to ask you to play 18. Let's go play 9 down at the threes course. And all of a sudden, now they're kind of a little more interested. I wonder if this thing gets good social media pub, if it'll kind of be a catalyst for a new round of golf. Golf's been struggling getting new fans. I wonder if this is a way to fix that. We'll talk more about it later in the show. Rob Alonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Me too, Mike. On Saturday's edition of Bet for the Cycle on the BetQL Network, hosted by Rob Brown and Cody Decker, 4 hours noon to 4, Cody Decker, my co-host, he also hosts Beadle and Decker on Sirius XM Radio from noon to 4 every weekday. Check that out. On Sirius XM Radio, on Bet for the Cycle on the BetQL Network, Cody Decker said something this past Saturday that I found kind of interesting, and I want your thoughts on it. Decker said, and now for the full context of the conversation, Cody Decker's a baseball guy first and foremost. It's his love. Of course it is. That's what he played professionally. He loves baseball. But he's a football guy too. Big Raiders fan, big UCLA guy. Still has a hatred in his heart for Chip Kelly that I have immense respect for. Decker said, great one, that these playoffs, unless you are a fan of a team that was in them, really of the final four, maybe not even of the teams before the semifinals. Decker said that he has found this 12-team playoff to be underwhelming and disappointing. He said, I thought we were going to get a great tournament. We were going to get a bunch of great games, maybe a couple of upsets. He said, I genuinely thought this was going to become compelling must-watch television. And he said he feels the exact opposite about it. He said, it feels boring. It feels underwhelming. You had in round one, 4 blowouts. You had in round two, effectively, 1 compelling game. Maybe you could make the argument that Notre Dame-Georgia, I would make the argument that Notre Dame-Georgia was compelling. But I can see how if you incorrectly believe that big explosive offenses and touchdowns are the only way that football's fun, which you're wrong about. But if that is how you define football as fun, then you would have said, unless you're an Ohio State fan, a Penn State fan, or a, well, really, that's it, that you would have found the second round a little bit boring. You had Arizona State, Texas, a double overtime game that was thrilling.
Like a conference guy. Maybe you're a Big Ten guy and like, see, our conference is better than.
I mean, I guess, but I think at that point, at least to me anyway, as a not a conference guy, that feels to me like you are digging for a reason to call this college football 12-team playoff entertaining. That's kind of the spot. Wesley said Texas ASU was a, no, Dex said specifically, there has been, and this was his argument, in the college football playoffs up to the semifinal, Cody Decker said there has been one compelling game, Texas-Arizona State. And he went on to say that what should have been labeled as a wildly compelling game wasn't. He said the non-targeting call ruined that game for him. He said, I believe Arizona State, if I can't outright say won that game, were prevented from having the opportunity to win that
game. Yeah, I completely agree with him. But still, I mean, that is the most compelling game, especially if you're watching a game and you don't have a dog in the fight and you're just watching a game. I mean,
which is me for all these games, right? I mean, it's of the folks on this show, that's us for everybody that's not Lonzo. On this, I should say station. Not this show.
Yeah, yeah.
On this station, really.
Although, according to the promo we've heard a couple of times, Cole picked Ohio State to win the national championship.
Sure.
So if you pick a team to win the whole thing,
yeah,
especially on the air, you want to be right.
Yeah, 100%. But, I mean, there's no dog in the fight outside of trying to look like stinking geniuses on the air,
well, yeah.
Right? So
that is more important than people know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But if you're a fan, right? If you're a fan, then I would say I understand the argument. And if you are a fan that, because again, Arizona State, Texas was the, I will say, most compelling game so far. Honestly, Notre Dame, Georgia was pretty damn compelling to me. Two heavyweights throwing
fists. All they did is they put stakes on a bowl game. That's all they did. If this was a normal slate of bowl games, it would be like, yeah, that's what we kind of expected. But you put stakes on it and make it a playoff game, it doesn't change the fact that it probably, if it wasn't, it would just be like any other bowl game. They're usually blowouts.
Correct. And again, I think the thought here from somebody like Deck, and this is what I told him. I said, I really want you to think about this. To me, it is compelling for one reason. Lonzo, if we were in the four-team college football playoff mode, zero of the teams in the semifinals would have been in it.
Right.
Zero of them. Not one of them. If we were in the old method, zero of these teams would have likely gotten in. Ohio State didn't make it to the Big Ten title game. Would they have gotten in a 14 playoff? Probably not. The only team that maybe would have gotten in is maybe the committee would have slid Texas in at number four.
Well, if you compare it to March Madness, none of the number one seeds made it.
Right.
So you'd have a Final Four with no number one seed.
Right. Which in basketball to me, that's compelling. That's compelling. But what I would say is, and this is the argument I made to Cody Decker, when he said that he has been largely disappointed by these college football playoffs. Because again, the first round, four out of four games were blowouts. In round number two, two out of the four games were blowouts. Ohio State over Oregon, Penn State over Boise State. Notre Dame, Georgia was not a blowout. But again, if you're all in it for flash and dazzle, it wasn't flash and dazzle. It was just two ground-and-pound teams throwing haymakers at each other until one ran out of gas.
All right, so Saturday's a betting show, right?
Yep.
So how did he do? As far as...
He done bet college football.
Okay.
He done bet college football. This conversation, let me clarify.
You guys discussed it, though, right?
We do, but I carry the college football conversation.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Here's the way Bet for the Cycle works. It is a, as we say on the BetQL Network, wagertainment show. However, Deck and I show, and it has been cleared because of just how damn good we are. Deck and I show has been cleared to not be obligated to stick solely to bets, to gambling. Like, they just let us talk sports, and then we work the gambling in. We're like, okay, all that being said, I would take, right? With that being said, it's a sports show. And so Decker's argument was the 12-team playoff has been boring and underwhelming and kind of to some degree pointless. And here's what I would say. The first round, if I have learned anything, so tell me if I'm too far here. If I have learned anything, I think an 8-team playoff is fine. I think we could do an 8-team, 3-round playoff. I think we could start with teams 1 through 8 and knock it down by 1 round, go 1 through 8, because again, 9, 10, 11, 12 all got it handed to them. Handed to him, not like close games.
I would just say, from my standpoint, like I said, it could have just this was what would have happened if they were all bowl games, but because it was a tournament, I was more interested in it. And I know we're going to talk about it, so of course I'm going to try to watch as much as I can. But even if I wasn't on a sports show, I would have watched more because there are stakes in the bowl games, and it wasn't just a normal bowl game.
Well, again,
I found them more interesting because of that.
That is why our text poll question of the day today is, and you can text your answer to 844-326-3663. How many non-playoff bowl games did you watch? How many non-playoff bowl games did you watch? And you can text your answer to 844-326-3663. Text, and I'm looking for the word, none, the word one, the word two, or the word more. Did you watch 0 bowl games that weren't playoffs? Text none. Did you watch maybe your team's bowl game if they weren't in the playoffs? Text one. Did you watch maybe your team and your rivals or your team and your spouses? Text two, TWO. And if you watched more than a few of them, text more. Because I wonder if the college football playoff going to 12... And now we know probably going to 16 down the pipe, is it really worth it? Because it's been largely blowouts. None of the bottom 4 seeds made it. What the hell is going to happen when we add 4 more teams on top of that? Is there a point? All right, just a thought. Your reaction to Cody Decker's comments that it's been an underwhelming tournament so far. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Texter said, Rob, based on your logic, we shouldn't take top 4 seeds either. Just take seeds 5 through 8 and go back to 4 teams. LOL. Hashtag knee-jerk reaction. For the record, first off, this is Cody Decker's take, not mine. My take is 8 teams. I think 8 teams is the way to go. Honestly, as much as I've said for years, all football is good football. That's why my answer on our text message poll question of the day, 844-326-3663. How many non-playoff bowl games did you watch? Text the word none, the word one, the word two, or the word more to 844-326-3663. How many non-playoff games did you watch? My answer is more. All football is good football to me. But I would agree with Cody Decker that for the amount of, and I do think this is about expectation and buildup. The expectation and the buildup was that this is going to be the greatest postseason playoffs of all time. And the reality is it's been filled with blowups.
You could look at it another way, and that's that byes are bad. And so if we have a 16 team, will there be byes anymore?
I would be, honestly, that's a fine argument because you are at a spot right now where all the teams, 9, 10, 11, and 12, all got blown out. And teams 1, 2, 3, 4 that had the bye, all them lost too. And not just lost, but with the exception of Arizona State, lost rather convincingly, right? I mean, With the exception of Arizona State, there's not really a team in seeds 1 through 4 that you would go, you know, if they play that game again, I bet the other team wins, right? Like, maybe Arizona State. Maybe. So, I think we can go to 8. Texter said, 8-game playoff, yes, certainly the best team is amongst the 8 best. I mean, it's hard for me to argue that. First off, this year, that is definitively true, right? Because the only seeds that are alive are 5, 6, 7, and 8. Those are the only seeds that are alive. And by the way, I do have to point out that the concept, this year it's true. It wouldn't necessarily always be true that a team that got left out of the 4, if we had a 4-team playoff, a team that got left out would be in. This year, 4 teams that got left out would have been in.
It also makes you speculate. In years past where a team that was really good lost their last game or lost a game that they shouldn't have lost and got left out of the playoff, could they have won it all? And this would make you think, yeah, they probably could have.
Listen, I've said for many years, I am willing to bet that at least a handful of years, the team that would have won the championship was sitting at 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, right? That, I mean, that's football. So I think 8's the number because 9, 10, 11, and 12 all got smacked around. Maybe it's a different argument. If Tennessee would have upset Ohio State, then all of a sudden you go, okay, it has to be 12, right? Has to be 12. Because now the argument that we used to have about 4 to 5, now that argument from 8 to 9 is a valid argument. In year number 1, team number 9 beat team number 8, which means if it was an 8-team playoff, team 9 that was better than team 8 would have, but that's not what happened. Tennessee went on the road, got the dog crap kicked out of them by the Buckeyes. So, I think the way I'm looking at it now is, honestly, I was all in for 16. I'm like, why not? More football is good football, right? But the reality is, round 1 wasn't good football. Next year, when round 1 rolls around, how many of us, unless your team's in round 1, how many of you, if your team's not in round 1, are juiced about round 1 next year? If it stays at 12, probably not many. Now, it might be more interesting if we go to 16 and everybody's active in round 1. Now we're looking at 4 days plus of round 1 football. Are they all going to be compelling? No. And here's the reality. You're going to have blowouts in round 1. The first best team, 90% of the time, is going to beat the hell out of the 12th best team. That's how it works. Team number 2 is going to beat team number 11 or team number 15 a lot of times. Team number 3 is going to beat team number 14 overwhelmingly, just like the NCAA basketball tournament. This is why when a 15 Furman beats a 2 Virginia, we're all like, whoa, whoa. Well, now we know what clip number 1 in that in one shining moment's going to be, don't we? Right? And also, when that happens, those number 16s that beat a 1 or 15s that beat a 2, they usually get bounced in the next round because doing it consistently through a tournament is tough to do. I don't think we need, again, I have been on board with going to 16. I think I'm off that train. I honestly think 12 is probably the max. The only issue I have with 12, and this is what Lonzo pointed out, and I think he's right. The only issue I have with 12 is I am now convinced byes are bad. I think byes are bad. Whether you play, I mean, you're going to play in a conference championship, but you're talking a 3-week stretch.
I think they help
stretch.
In the NFL. I just don't think they help in the college because of how long of a stretch you're going without playing.
Well, even still, like in the NFL, the bye is 2 weeks. The college football bye is effectively 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And especially if you are a up-tempo, rhythm-based offense, right? If you're a West Coast offense, if you're a pro-style offense that's based on route timing and precision throwing and all that, because you can practice. But as anybody who's coached more than a game will tell you, you cannot simulate game speed in practice. Doesn't matter how hard you try. You can't simulate a game in practice. And so when I got teams that got to sit down for 3 weeks, like, you know, every team that got a bye. Come in. You know why? I believe this. You know why Arizona State was the only team that stayed close? What was Arizona State's offense? give the ball to Scataboo and let him scatter people up out of their way, right? Like, that was their whole offense. Give it to four, let him cowboy collar his way through the line. That's the reason Arizona State was the only close game. I don't think byes are good. I think they're bad. And I'm not just saying for the teams that have them. I'm saying for the playoff itself, byes aren't good. Byes like three-plus week byes. Now, if you want to bump everything up a week and, you know, teams play round one the weekend after the conference championship game, like in the NFL, right? But then you have to maintain the current structure where conference champions are the ones who get the byes, or else conference championships don't mean anything at that point. T-Experience texts the show. He said, I still stand on my idea of six teams with the top two getting a bye. T-Experience, let's look at the bracket right now. If you went with that, Lonzo's Ohio State University, who is right now, do we agree, America, Armada, Upstate, World, we all agree that Ohio State is playing the best football in the nation right now, right? After what they've done the last 2 weeks? We all agree Ohio State's playing the best football in the playoff.
For the last 2 weeks, yes.
Certainly. T-Experience, with your idea, Ohio State would not be alive today. Now, you can make the argument that, well, maybe after the Michigan loss, with the loss to Oregon later in the year, maybe they don't deserve to be. You can make that argument. Maybe they don't deserve to be alive. But under that plan, they wouldn't be alive today. They would not be playing in this tournament. You know who else would not? Notre Dame, who just bounced Georgia. They would not be in this tournament right now. They are favored to beat Penn State and go to the national championship game right now. So, T-Experience, if we went with your six teams, and I'm not trying to slap this down, I just want to make the point to you, T-Experience, and get your response. If we went with your method, not only would two of the four semifinal teams not be in this tournament, the two teams that are favored in the semifinal games, both of them, would not be in this tournament right now. I think 12's a good number. The problem is, I don't think 12's a good number. I think it's a good number for the amount of teams that should be in. I think 12's a good number for the amount of teams that should be in. However, if you do 12, you have to have four byes. Just by definition of setting up a bracket. And I don't think byes are good. Texter said, byes are bad. Reseeding is good. More college football is good. 14 playoffs had just as many blowouts. 16 is the number. 16 is the number. Texter said, false. The auto bids forced two teams ahead. Texas and Penn State, Notre Dame were in the top six. Well, hang on, Texter. If we're doing it that way, you have to then say, conference championships don't matter outside of your seeding, right? Now, if you want to say that, that's fine. So you're getting, and this is fair, you're getting rid of the importance of the conference championships. They still matter right now because you're playing for a bye. Although, and I said this right after the bracket was released, if I gave you the opportunity going into, forget where we are now, going into the college football playoffs, to put your team anywhere in this bracket, well, not anywhere, to put your team, I mean, honestly, anywhere is not a bad say. If I gave you the opportunity, Zoe, to put your team anywhere in the bracket, would you rather have put them where Oregon was, getting a bye, but having to play the winner of Tennessee, Ohio State, and then play whoever comes out of Texas and Arizona State? Or would you rather be where Penn State was? You got to play in the first round, but you get SMU. You got to play in the second round, but you get Boise State, considered by many to be the weakest second round team. And then you get whoever is alive after Notre Dame, Georgia. I got to tell you, Penn State got an easier path to the title than the Oregon Ducks did as the one overall.
They did, and Penn State got what they needed as a team because of the reputation of their coach not being able to win a big one. They got an easier draw. Now he's won a couple big ones.
So My spot there would be this year, I would rather not win the Big Ten if I knew I was still getting in. I would have rather not won it and go where Penn State was than want it and go where Oregon was.
Lane Kiffin was right.
I mean, listen, there's a lot Lane Kiffin's been wrong about, but a lot Lane Kiffin's been right about. I'll tell you right now. Let's put it this way. Next year, same setup. Oregon and Penn State. They're 1-2 in the Big Ten going into the Big Ten title game. Don't you lay down for that game? If now again, it's not going to work out like that every year. But I think a lot of years it will. If you know, especially when the committee said over and over, we're not going to drop a team for losing in their conference championship game. If I'm looking and I'm going, okay, if I lose the Big Ten, I'm checking in at number 6. That means I get number 11 and I'm going to get one of the two weaker conference champion auto buys. What? Like, why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I want that? Why wouldn't I lay down in the conference? And what happens if you're Oregon and you go, wait a minute. Last year we went in and as the one seed, we got Ohio State and Tennessee. Well, here's the thing. The 8 and 9 seeds are going to regularly be filled up by really good teams who check in third in a really good conference, right? Like we all talk about how the SEC is just stacked, yeah? That means more often than not, the third best team in the SEC is going to be as good as the first best team in most other conferences. Which means if I get the one seed and I get the winner of 8-9, there's going to be a hell of a lot of years with the top 4 seeds going to conference champs, even not good conferences. That's going to mean more often than not, those 8-9 slots are going to be Ohio State's and Tennessee's and Ole Miss's and Alabama's. Really good teams that are just third in really deep conferences or really top-heavy conferences. I'd rather be Penn State. Go in at 6, play 11, then play the 3 seed, which is going to be, in the current structure, one of the weaker conference champions. And then get, whoever comes from a good bracket out of the 2 and the 7 side. I'd rather play that. So I don't know. I think at this point, I'm looking at this bracket and going, we may have to go to a reseeding format like the NFL does, right? Number 1 gets the lowest remaining seed every round. Number 2 gets the second lowest remaining seed every round. And you do it that way. I don't know. I think the more I'm looking at the bracket, the more I can see why people look at this bracket and go, I honestly don't love it. It's a great idea, but it's not working out the way it's supposed to. All right, we got a lot of text, 844-326-3663. We'll check in on the text line when we come back. That's after Lonzo seduces you with his sports flash.
The football championship subdivision title belongs once again to the North Dakota State Bison.
Go Bison, eh?
Who knocked off previously undefeated and top-seeded Montana State 35-32. The title is the Bison's or the Bison. I don't know. Is it multiple? I mean, do you put plural in there? 10th, all of which have come in the last 14 seasons. No other school has more than 6. After their first-round playoff loss, Clemson officially relieved defensive coordinator Wes Goodwin of his duties. Yesterday, Dabo Swinney made the announcement via a press release on social media. Goodwin was promoted to the position in 2002 to replace Brent Venables, who, you never know, might be back. We'll see. Tune in tomorrow at 6:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs as Furman versus the Citadel right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.